Welcome to the ALUX.com podcast, the place where future billionaires come to get inspired. Today's topic is 15 superficial businesses everybody starts. Hello, ALUXers. Welcome back for an exciting Sunday motivational video. A while back, we teased the idea of going through the most superficial businesses everybody starts, and finally, we're doing it. We'll make a game out of it, okay? Here's what we want you to do. For every business on this list, think of one person, yourself included, that at one point decided to do this business. We're not bashing the hustle, but are you really hustling? Almost every single one of these businesses can grow to become multi-million dollar companies, but statistically, you're probably not going to make it. So why do people start these? It all boils down to three simple reasons. 1. You've got a lot of time on your hands and not much money. 2. You think it's easy and you know you're kind of lazy. And lastly, 3. It's trendy. You see someone else doing it successfully and you think all it takes to make it is just to try. With that said, let's have some fun this Sunday, shall we? Number 1. Social media influencer. Raise your hand if you know at least 3 people who thought they would make it as a social media influencer. Maybe some of them are still trying. You see the most boring people around posting low-quality photos of their coffee in the morning alongside the hashtag rise and shine, hashtag Monday morning, hashtag influencer, that only get linked on by their mom and some creepy dude. Don't get us wrong, social media offers an incredible opportunity for marketing and exposure, but those are useful only to those who know how to monetize attention. A while back, we did a breakdown on the death of social media influencers and the rise of mediapreneurs that breaks down exactly what the differences are between those who make it and those who don't. People want to become influencers because it looks like easy money, and for some people, it really is, but those people don't last long. This is actually one of the reasons why China is definitely going to overtake the US as the biggest economic superpower. American kids want to be YouTubers, while Chinese kids want to become astronauts. While some kids want money and wealth with as little effort as possible, China is playing the long game of raising children who have intrinsic value. If you draw the line, how valuable do you think you are as a human being? How much value are you adding to society? Your worth to humanity is determined by the value you can add to the marketplace. Keep this in mind as we go through the list. Number 2. A clothing brand, or worse, a merch line. We had to include this because it was actually the first business we tried to start in our college years. It's easy to look at Supreme, Bape, Off-White and think, I could do that. There's little to no differentiator. It failed because we were dumb. No experience, no business knowledge on what it takes to launch a fashion label and to grow it. We quickly understood what was happening and put our heads down and got to work on something that could potentially grow. Looking at the youth today, everybody is starting a clothing line. It's easy to look at the likes of Chiara Ferragni, Philip Pline, or even here on YouTube, Tsuki by PewDiePie or Teddy Fresh by H3H3, and think it's something that you can do too, when in reality, there are teams of people, suppliers, designers, sales and production managers, all at work to monetize the big audience of some of these people. Once you get an audience on YouTube, for example, it's super tempting to sell merch. We know because our contact at YouTube suggested we do it as well. That's how the ALUX.com/merch page came to be. It's basically a Teespring store where we uploaded some designs. The problem with it is that the quality is below mediocre, as with every merch store out there. And it is so because they need to keep production prices as low as possible. We put 6 months into sourcing some genuinely quality products with a factory in China and eventually understood there's no way we could ever compete on price. So we never made it a priority to push the merch because it felt disingenuous. To this day, with our close to 3 million subscribers, we're earning less than a couple hundred bucks every month from merch. Even the success stories like the Paul brothers seem a bit too predatory for us, and targeting children just to make some extra cash doesn't feel right. Even Mr. Beast, whom we love, blatantly rips the designs off of popular brands for his merch to fund his really expensive videos. Number 3. A jewelry line. The temptation is big because the barriers of entry are pretty low. While the most basic option is to make handmade kitschy jewelry, some move past it and try to do precious metals. It's in very few cases that these develop into being standalone brands. It's enough to open the first page of Etsy and realize just how many people are trying to do this. The upside is the margins in the jewelry business are incredibly high, and you can crawl to survive with just a low amount of sales. You're not competing with Tiffany, Cartier, or Bulgari. Instead, the focus is on young hipsters who are looking for something different. The goal of breaking into this industry is to position yourself somewhere in the middle with a touch of high end. Many of you here on YouTube might be familiar with Casey Neistat's wife, Candace. She's the founder of Finn Jewelry, and they've been bringing in between $2 to $5 million in revenue per year with only 4 employees. However, what's important to note is the business was founded over 15 years ago. You don't get these numbers overnight. Number 4. Social Media Management Agency. Here's the thing. Just because you spend most of your day scrolling through Instagram, double-tapping pics, it isn't enough to justify a consultancy business, yet there are people popping up like crazy all over the place. Everyone is starting a social media consultancy business with almost zero previous personal success. Here's why this is a shallow perspective. If you were really good at something, you would have used it to build yourself a viable business or a large enough audience that could eventually be monetized. The new trendy alternative is an agency that connects influencers to brands. Every week we receive 20 to 30 emails of agencies that want us to join their new amazing platform that's going to revolutionize the industry. But they never do. The most successful example we can think in this case is at Fuck Jerry, the Instagram page, who grew solely through stealing jokes from other people. They would screenshot the tweets or memes and repost them on their Instagram. They blew up, and it's only been a year since they started asking for permission or consent on the redistribution of content. Fuck Jerry now has over 15 million followers on Instagram and has developed into a real social media agency. They launched a tequila brand and also a spin-off account that's been trending these days. You might be familiar with this guy, at Dude with Sign. This was a campaign created by them and, in our opinion, is an example of a social media win. Number 5. A dropshipping website. Thank God for Shopify. Some of you might remember this, but back in the day it was a complete nightmare to create an online store. Now you've got a ton of alternatives that make it super, super easy. The technology is amazing. But with the fallen barriers to entry, it means that more and more people can throw junk in the marketplace. It's been a couple of years since what we believe to be the peak of this trend, but some people are still going. Basically, you go to AliExpress or Alibaba, find a really cheap product, steal the photos, post them on your store with a higher price tag, and then try to promote it the best you can. When you receive an order, you just send the order to the original seller and pocket the difference. This is the most basic way to do this. The more involved you are, the more complex the business becomes. Some people build a brand that's on the label. They work with the manufacturer to have certain custom features specifically designed for them. One of our all-time favorite entrepreneurs is Greta Van Riel, who's the original Skinny Me Tea. You know how all of your favorite Instagrammers post with their detox teas? Yeah, she did that and didn't stop there. She started 4 more multi-million dollar businesses from scratch. Just think of the amazing opportunities that we have right now. Before the end of the day, you could have your own e-commerce store if you wanted to. Just go to alox.com/sell and sign up. We partnered with Shopify to give everyone in our community 14 days of full access to building an online store for free, just for you guys to see what the process is like. Who knows? Maybe you'll be the next e-commerce case study. That's alox.com/sell. Number 6. A flower arrangement business. For some reason, every girl you know out there is starting a floral arrangement business because, you know, why would you pay 10 to 20 bucks for a flower bouquet when you can pay 150 just because it has some twigs in it and you call it artisanal? The flower business is one of the hardest ones to break into as a serious business, but it has rather low barriers to entry as a wannabe. Here's the difference. Serious flower shops purchase flowers in bulk, assuring they get the lowest possible price for the product. On average, close to 50% of the flowers purchased by the reseller never get purchased and they throw them away, or if you're in a more developed country, they get recycled and become compost. These artisanal flower bouquets cost exorbitant prices for the final product, but do not purchase any perishable flowers in advance. You first place the order and then they go to a reseller and buy the flowers for you. This makes it a low-risk business, hence why everybody is getting into it. There's little to no differentiation here, which is why almost everyone moves past this business. However, a success story in this space is the Million Roses or Luxury Roses franchise. You've definitely seen them on Instagram. They figured out that people buy flowers today to show off to others and are no longer for personal use, and they capitalized on this trend before everyone else. Find something that sets you apart from everyone else, and you might have a shot at survival. Number 7. A perfume line. The average cost to start your own perfume line with a minimum of 500 bottles will range from $7,500 to $12,500 to have it done professionally. The price includes fragrance creation, filling assembly, boxing, and designing for one perfume brand. And really, that's crazy cheap if you think about it. We know we did at one point. It's just so appealing to say that you've got your own fragrance, but it's not that simple. The higher the quality of the perfume, the more money will go into the creation of the scent. The bottle is also important. And even if you get everything we mentioned earlier right, there's still the issue of marketing. How do you even market a smell? Marketing is actually one of the reasons why perfumes cost so much. They have to recoup what they spent on promotion. Everywhere you look when traveling, you'll see incredibly attractive people next to bottles of perfume. The cost breakdown looks something like this. You're paying $150 for what's actually $1.50 worth of perfume. Number 8. Life and Business Coach. What do you do when, for the love of God, you can't seem to be able to start a single business yourself, but you're really passionate because you once saw Gary Vaynerchuk talk about hustle and you felt he was talking about you? Obviously, you become a business coach. You immediately change your occupation to CEO on your profile pages and start sharing motivational quotes. For the young folks out there, as a rule of thumb, in order for the title of CEO to apply, you also have to have the following employees: CBDO, CFO, COO, CTO, and more, with each of them having multiple people under them. It doesn't make sense calling yourself a CEO if you're the only employee in your business. These are the people who never practice what they preach. They're focused solely on the image, the outside. They're trying to fake it in order to make it, while in the process ignoring the actual work needed to build a real business. It's always so cringy to us when people in their 20s try to write a book about life or business success in the hopes that the book will make their life and business a success. You've got it backwards, my friend. We built a million-dollar media company in the luxury space before we even touched the subject of how to make money, because it felt disingenuous. Yet over 1,000 YouTube channels have popped up blatantly copying our Sunday motivational videos as if it were their own. Number 9. Every single MLM. This is where we're gonna piss off a bunch of people. Every time we talk about network marketing and MLMs, all of those self-proclaimed entrepreneurs caught in a pyramid scheme of self-denial are jumping all over us in the comments. Before you choke on your Herbalife shake, you might want to click in the top right corner and check out our video breaking down how these companies are taking advantage of you. First of all, you don't see people starting multi-level companies. You just hear about them joining one. You know that moment when you're catching up with an old friend and things start to feel a bit off, and then bam, they've got this amazing opportunity for you to sign up under them in a pyramid-shaped hierarchy that's definitely not a pyramid scheme. That's how you ruin relationships. None of the people who were trying to get you into a pyramid scheme 10 years ago are millionaires. MLMs are predatory in nature and take advantage of the less fortunate people in society, making them think they're working for themselves and are now entitled to use the hashtag boss babe. The reality is, people are profiting off your naivete, and you're just pissed off you didn't make the platinum level partner yet. Number 10. Amazon FBA Store. FBA stands for Fulfillment by Amazon. It's basically a glorified dropshipping business with a different name, and it just so happens to be the latest trend out there. Basically, you buy products for cheap. You send them to Amazon to be stored. You drive traffic to your product page, and Amazon takes care of all the logistics. Luckily, it's been over 2 years since this strategy has picked up some steam, and enough people have lost enough money to keep newbies from jumping into this with their eyes closed. A quick YouTube search for Amazon FBA reveals a long list of people who've lost from thousands to hundreds of thousands of dollars in the process of trying to get rich quick and designing the life of their dreams. This has all been fueled by the success of The 4-Hour Workweek, which is honestly one of the best books for beginner entrepreneurs, but it has some drawbacks that only experienced entrepreneurs get to see. There are no successful businesses that require only 4 hours a week. Even Tim Ferriss himself said so. For those of you who don't know, the title of the book came from a result of multiple A-B tests where he let an algorithm decide which is the most clickbaity of a title and has nothing to do with the actual amount of work that goes into it. While promoting the book, Tim himself worked overtime. This notion of easy, passive income is what drives most new businesses into the ground. Business is not easy. It requires focus, discipline, and years of work with barely any result before you build a solid foundation. For those of you who haven't read The 4-Hour Workweek, do yourself a favor and go to alux.com/freebook right now and sign up. Our friends at Audible have been nice enough to sponsor and support our community. So if this is your first time, you're getting a free audiobook. That's alux.com/freebook. Number 11. Soap or Candle Maker. Everybody is starting an artisanal soap or candle business. Why? Because the margins are freaking amazing and it's easy to get into. We're not going to go into the details of how to make your own scented candle or soap and all that. Google is your friend if you must know. But we're most focused on the business and the marketing perspective. One of the most recent success stories in this space comes from the lifestyle brand Goop by Gwyneth Paltrow. They released a $75 candle titled, "This Smells Like My Vagina," which sold out in the first day. At this point, it's all about marketing. There were some guys in Canada that saw the opportunity and released a matching candle that smells like the male genitalia, which sold for $100. That's $25 more, and leveraged the gender pay gap to get the free press. Number 12. Working on an app that's like Uber for bullshit. We feel like this one is tapering off as well, but we still get pitches from time to time to invest in different apps that are like the Uber but for some new type of service. The most recent one we encountered was Uber for flowers. Sounds good, right? The problem we have with this kind of business is it's so easy for the big mammoths to simply introduce the service once the business model proves there's enough demand. That's how Uber Eats cornered the food delivery market after Takeaway and Foodpanda. And speaking of the Uber of flowers, although this might sound like an appealing business opportunity, it's already a thing in Singapore, and if the pilot works, it's bound to happen everywhere else. The same thing happened with the Tinder of things. There was a point in time where every startup was the Tinder for something, from restaurants to hiring people. We applaud the initiative of leveraging someone's innovation to carve out a niche, but it's almost never the case for the business to end up surviving more than 3 years. Number 13. A coffee shop. We took it back to the OG, I'ma do my own thing and start a coffee shop. Look, we love coffee, but if we hear about another hipster brand that's gonna take over Starbucks through their innovative latte art, we're gonna lose it. These days, rents are so incredibly high, making it a lot more difficult to break into it than back in the day. So more and more startups focus on small retail islands, or carts, or coffee trucks, or whatever the new trendy thing is to do. It's not hard to build a loyal customer base for one location through personal connection and putting in that extra love into every cup. But it's impossible to scale against the likes of Starbucks, Dunkin', Gloria Jean's, McCafé, and the Tim Hortons of the world. It might sound easy from the outside, but it's an expensive business to get into, and even more so if it's people-dependent. Your coffee shop is only as good as the people working behind the counter. It's rarely about the coffee and more about the way the place makes you feel and what drives you to come back over the many alternatives. Starbucks made it a part of their brand to work in their shops, and it's been a massive success. One of our favorite books is Onward by Howard Schultz, the founder of Starbucks, in which he breaks down what it took to make Starbucks a success. It's a must-read for anyone who wants to get into the coffee business. Number 14, event planning. Weddings and events are the new gold mines. Everywhere you look, people are spending more than they can afford on a single one-time event. We'll call it like it is. Weddings are a scam. The bride and groom are not having fun. The guests aren't having fun. It's too expensive, and the only people who are thrilled are the retailers charging you exorbitant prices for everything from food to flowers to the venue and so on. For those of you interested in going into event planning, this is the golden rule. Your event planning business is as valuable as your list of contacts. The more options for service providers you have at your disposal, the better. Event planning has taken off in recent years since people are now putting even more money down for experiences. It's basically a logistics play in which you're responsible to minimize the stress and risk of everything going to hell in a handbasket on the big day, and people are willing to pay for that. A competitive advantage here lies in the leveraging of new platforms like Instagram, where you can use the event guests to market your business for you if you know what you're doing. Hashtags and having an Instagram corner have become a must, and people are struggling to innovate and differentiate themselves in a market that's not been disrupted for ages. Number 15, energy drinks. The last item on our list has to do with energy drinks. Remember when everybody was starting an energy drink company? Although the real costs of breaking into the local energy drink market are between $100,000 and $1 million, you can technically do it for a lot less and get creative with the marketing. It's very similar to the perfume industry, where the cost of products is significant compared to how much it takes to get people to choose your brand over the likes of Red Bull, Monster, Burn, or more recently, Coke Energy. For years, energy drinks have been seen as an acceptable drink, but now the culture is changing. Everyone is going vegan and paying more attention to what they put into their bodies. While the sale of energy drinks is going up in Asia, South America, and Africa, the West is slowly moving away from them. We're curious to see how this segment will evolve, and who knows, 50 years from now, we might look at the traditional energy drink the same way we look at cigarettes today. This was a great podcast today, wasn't it? Thank you for spending some time with us and taking another step toward improving the way you look at life. If you're hungry for more, you can always go to our website, alux.com, or subscribe to us on YouTube. The entire alux.com team wishes you a very productive day.